loving one is coming in plain view. Redemption draws nigh, he's that lovely one who's coming in plain view.
Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. That was a little weak. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen, amen. He's coming in plain view. You say, well, I don't see him. Well, just look around. He's taking on flesh in this hour. And he's doing the same thing today that he did yesterday. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Aren't you thankful this evening? Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful to know him? And not just to know him, but to know him in the power of his resurrection. Not to just know about him, but to know him personally. Amen. We are so blessed, aren't we? Amen. And just as a reminder, at the end of the service, we have a baptism this evening, and we're excited about it. Our brother Josiah Babcock is going to be baptized in Christian baptism. And, you know, there's a great promise in God's word that the greatest of all gifts will come when with full obedience to God's word, amen. Right? So we're thankful that he's surrendering his heart, that he's answering the call. God's pulling and tugging on his heart. He's answering that call. He's going to be baptized in Christian baptism. He's repented of his sin. He wants Jesus Christ to be his Lord. But there's more to it, right? We're not just getting our skin saved, in other words, right? It's not just, oh, I escaped hell. No, actually, you are a candidate now for eternal life, to live forever, right? And God promised if we will just be obedient to his word, it's very, very simple, right? You don't need something to roll out of heaven. You don't need a bunch of trumpets and saxophones playing, although we enjoy that. We enjoy that. But God speaks to your heart. And nobody else will hear that but you. And you're the one that's responding, right? And then he promised to give you the gift of eternal life, and he wants to fill you more than you want to be filled. But he also puts a desire down in your heart to be filled, so that you'll respond to that, right? So we're believing that God is going to, that God has forgiven our brother, that he's paid the price, that our brother is accepting the pardon this evening. But we're believing that God is going to fill him with the Holy Ghost and power. Amen. Without the Holy Ghost, we don't stand a chance, right? The devil is going about as a roaring lion, and you know, we're no match for him physically, right? If we try to match wits with him, if we try to, Satan will give us these thoughts will come in our mind, well, if I could just be good enough, then God will accept me. Well, you'll never be good enough, right? And if you could be good enough, you wouldn't need a Savior, right? But when you finally come to that realization that without him I'm lost, but he wants to save me, and he paid the ultimate price to do that, well, then you just surrender to him, and then he takes control. Amen. Your life begins to change one day at a time. So we're excited about that tonight, and I am going on about it a little bit because, you know, usually there are some people that are still kind of in the valley of decision. Maybe they're putting it off. Maybe they're thinking, well, as soon as I'm better, as soon as I quit this or quit that, don't quit anything, right? Just get the quitter. Amen. Come as you are. Let him take it from you, and then you'll know that it's not going to come back because he took it. If it's something that you decide to do or don't decide to do, well, maybe you'll decide to do it again later. But if he takes something from you, right, you know it's him. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. Sometimes I think we're looking for everything that God does is supernatural, but sometimes I think we're looking for something, you know, big banners, and we're looking for big lights, and we're looking for big supernatural things that, everybody can see when the greatest supernatural thing he can do is to change your heart, right? Take away that load of sin, right? And then change your heart. Make you an overcomer, as our brother's been ministering to us this morning, and I'm sure he'll continue on that vein here this evening. How many knows that there's a trail that the serpent has left behind? The serpent leaves a trail, right? And as our brother was showing us this morning, he was pointing out in the scriptures the trail that that serpent has left, right? And you can follow that trail. You can see what he did. You can see what he wants to do. You can see what he claimed that he's going to do. And then you can see what he's doing in your day. And then you can read the back of the book. You can read how things end up for him. And I'll just tell you this evening, not too well, right? He ends up being a tool in God's hand to bring you to perfection. And in the process, you come to know God in a way that you never would before, right? And God receives all the honor and all the glory. Give him all thanks for that. So we're thankful for the word that we heard this morning. Our brother, you can see, he's got looks like a teaching gift in his life, and just laid it all out. He pointed to where these things are at in the scripture, and he pointed to places that you can refer to it in the message. And you know, that's we will overcome by the word of our testimony, by the blood of the Lamb. And so it's that word that's been given to you that empowers you, that protects you, and it's by that word that we will overcome. So I'm thankful for when a minister comes and just points right to the word. Here's, you know, I'm not making something up. I'm not trying to dazzle you with something. I'm trying to show you in the word who you are, what the word has done for you, what the word is doing for you, what the word will do for you, right? To equip you, and so that you can then go and take that very same word when the enemy comes and knocks on your door, right? And you can stand and you can watch that enemy flee at some point, go away, because he can't defeat the word. How many knows that? Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Blessed be his wonderful name. So we want to invite our brother Femi once again to come and take his liberty. And we're thankful that he's here with us. And we just ask the Lord to bless his family, his children, his wife, and the church back home. And my prayer always is when someone comes to labor for us, and labor of love, is that the Lord would give them a double portion of whatever comes our way, and just mightily bless them, give them his heart's desire. You know, you can kind of take that a couple of ways. The scripture says, you know, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desire of your heart, right? There's actually two ways to look at that. One way to look at it, and I think they're both true. One way to look at that is that is the obvious way that we normally think of it, that, you know, I have a desire of my heart, and it's a good desire, and the Lord will give me that thing that I'm desiring, right? But another way to look at it is that he actually gave you that desire. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you that desire, and then he will fulfill that desire. Think about it. If you didn't have a desire, how would it be fulfilled? So we even thank him for the desire. Thank him for... Amen? Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm thankful that I have a desire to repent. Because if I had no desire, then I would not repent. And if I didn't repent, I'm lost. Right? So he even gave me the desire to repent. Aren't you glad this evening? Amen. Blessed be his name. Let's sing that song, Worthy is the Lamb, as we get ready to change the order of the service here in a minute. Worthy is the... That's a little too high for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on
heaven's mercy see. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. And all creation I see, praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, I will adore you. Clothed in rainbow, living color, flashes of lightning, bolts of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and
sit, let's just read the scripture so that you can sit once and for all. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yeah, as God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. May the Lord add blessings to the reading of his holy word. You can please be seated. I want to appreciate you for your patience in the morning. May the Lord bless you. I know nobody is worthy to speak to God's children. Only God can speak to you, because you are redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you are the purchased possession of God. Hallelujah. And that's who you are. And Satan cannot even touch you. I want you to know that. And I want you to believe that. Amen. Because we are the apple of God's eye. And I tell you, if anything wants to touch your eye, you do everything to protect the eyes. Even without your conscious effort, involuntary action. You will do it. And that's the way God's going to protect you. Amen. So in the morning, we started talking about the trail of the serpent. You know, as it's moving around, it's leaving footprints. So we know what he's been doing. We know what he's doing now. And we know his next bus stop. And we're already ahead of him through our God who is in us. Hallelujah. You know, we are doing all that we are doing by Christ that is living in us. Amen. Not by our power, not by our might. For us, we can't do anything. Amen. You know, Bible told us that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the wages of sin is death. And the price of sin was so great, nobody can pay it. There is nobody who can pay the price of sin. So God himself came down to resolve that matter. Amen. Hallelujah. And so today we stand before him as saints. Hallelujah. Amen. We are not saints just because when we die, like the other church does. We are living saints. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We are living saints. Amen. Because Christ lives in us. That's our power, is the hope that make us not ashamed. Yes. Hallelujah. I want to go back to the topic. So in the morning, we were able to see the reason or the origin of the topic. You know, we saw that the prophet wanted to preach it as a topic, 4 hours. But he couldn't, but he was able to drop all the nuggets everywhere that we can pick together, you know. Then we saw the purpose, which is for us to know the trick. The prophet told us that the way to overcome is to know the devil in every of his tricks. Amen. Hallelujah. Once you know that, there's nothing he can do. Whatever he does, you know he's going to do it. And you're already prepared for it. Amen. Then we saw how the devil or serpent infiltrated the human race. You know, the prophet told us that sin did not start on earth. Sin started up there in heaven. And then God cannot condone sin. And so the first sinner was Satan. And God sent him to the earth. And God promised that sin, that guy, is going to be judged. And then God made a way for you and me so that we get out of that sin, so that sin can be punished only on the original sinner. Oh, it's Satan. Hallelujah. And let me tell you, the hand of that Satan is not going to be good for him. I'm telling you. It is not a good prognosis for him at all. Because he's going to get the beating of his life. Hallelujah. And then one thing we are going to see this evening is that the angel that's going to punish Satan is just an ordinary angel. We will see that. You know, when God wanted to reveal things, we saw Revelation 10:7, a mighty angel, you know, every time. But when he wants to deal with the devil, you will see the angel. Hallelujah. So this evening, And we're going to conclude our discussion on how he infiltrated the human race, especially the family and the individual. I just have a quote which I wanted to read, which will be relevant to us. Then we move quickly to our power, which is in the scripture. The power, we have so many power over Satan. God, Jesus told us, these signs shall follow those that believe. Amen. Hallelujah. So that is the authority upon which we are operating. And Jesus never withdrew them. Those authorities, the power, they are always with us. Amen. So we must realize that these things are available to us and we should use them. Amen. Hallelujah. Then after that, we look at Satan's end. So I'm hoping that maybe in the next 45 minutes or so, I should be done. So thank you again for listening. May God give us more revelation. Because it's not enough to know, we must apply the word. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we have so much revelation, so much information that our life, it should just be the word. May the Lord help us. Amen. So I'm going to start the invasion of the United States. Yes. But we are talking spiritually. I mean, Russia will not invade here. So be at peace. So paragraph 42. Here, it relates to both families and individuals. Oftentimes, when we are in Christ, it seems to us that maybe it's not Christ, it's not enough. That is, we think there's something out there. Brethren, there's nothing there. We got the best. Amen. Hallelujah. We are God's children. He promised us, Matthew 7, that if we, earthly parents, we can give good gifts to our children, how much more Him? Amen. So what you are getting here is the best you can get. There's no green grass out there. Hallelujah. That's oftentimes what makes believers to step out. Because they think there's something there. It's only death there. This is life. Let's stay there. Hallelujah. So I'm going to read it quickly. It says, I remember as a boy, once we had an old horse that it used to jump the fences all the time. You know, I guess many of you men at my age will know back in the us days, bogey days, I've come many a time right down this street here, driving a horse and buggy myself. I'm 45. So I remember this old horse, we put a yoke on his neck like you would a cow to keep him from jumping the fence. And he would jump anyhow. You know, sometimes God put a lot of barricades. You know, maybe the pastor live in your neighborhood, this deacon live up on it. You know, somewhere they're still trying to get over the fence. You see? And then he will jump anyhow. And he will hang that yoke and turn him around and so forth. He'll get over the fence. And one day, I wondered what was attracting that old fellow. And there was a big sinkhole down there. Now, he was standing in alfalfa. I'm sure you people know that. But he wanted, there was some blades of orchard grass in the sinkhole. He had what he needed, but he wanted more. Oh, my. Believers, let's be careful of this. You know, looking for something on the internet, some new gospel. Then all the gospel have been preached already. The mysteries have been revealed. Amen. That's what the Bible said. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, right, all mysteries should be finished. Amen. Seventh angel has been around. He has done his work. He has gone. So he has finished his work according to the scripture. Right. So what are we looking for new things for? May the Lord help us. He said, orchard grass in the sinkhole, and he jumped the fence and got in that sinkhole where all these wires and glass were in our dump. And getting there to get a few mouthful of that orchard grass. And we had to get some more horses to pull him out of that sinkhole. When he got in there, he got hunger. And when he stood out there, he was quivering and bleeding. And how it was, just to get a mouthful or two of that orchard grass, when he was standing in alfalfa, almost to his knees. Can you see? I've often thought of that picture. A way of a transgressor is hard. He just wouldn't stay still there where he was eating and having a wonderful time. But he had to jump that fence and go get all bruised and cut up like that just to get a mouthful of grass, some other different kind. Now, that's just about the way people does. That jumps the fence of God's pasture. Don't you believe that? Amen. Get out today. Come in, you know, is in the church, having a wonderful time. Then tomorrow, sell out for something like that. It makes it very hard. Hallelujah. We are talking about how devil infiltrates families and individuals. He offers them something there. Brethren, there is nothing there. Find your comfort in the word. Hallelujah. Once you are trying to get something, the devil always has something. But they are fixed. And they come at a great cost. Hallelujah. So that's for individuals and the family. So let's move to our power. Our power, I will just make references so that we can save some time. You know, we read earlier in the morning, Revelation chapter 10 and chapter 12, verse 10 and 11, that they overcame the devil by the blood of Christ, of the Lamb, and the word of their testimony. You know, that's what Christ does for us. You know, he shed his own blood so that we can be redeemed. And you know, redemption is in two parts. Christ brings us out of death and take us into eternal life. He can never leave us in the wilderness. Hallelujah. He will finish that which he has started. And so we have absolute confidence in him. So when you come to God, brethren, you must believe that whatever God says he will do, he will do it. There is no doubt about that. The devil will tell you, oh, it's not true. Oh, look at that fellow. It doesn't matter. When God says so, it is so. Amen. Then Mark 16, verse 17, that was told us that these signs shall follow them that believe. It doesn't say we will be looking for the signs. You know, adulterous and evil generation, they seek us after a sign. But for us, the signs follow us. When we lay hands on the sick, the word told us that they will recover. And we believe that. If demons come in contact with us, we have the authority to cast them out. And we must stand our ground. Hallelujah. Because we have the Father of all spirit in us. Holy Ghost is greater than any kind of demon. And once you are Holy Ghost filled, you command them. That's the authority we've been given. We are not running away from them. If they come across our path, we cast them out. Because that authority was given to us. Ephesians 4:27 told us that we should never give place to the devil. Hallelujah. You don't make provision for the flesh. You are in school, they call you for some funny party, you know what they are going to do there. You can just say no. No need to make provision. You know? Hallelujah. Let's focus on what we are called to do. Let's move on. Now, Ephesians 6:11, it told us that we should put on the whole armor. You know? Just be prepared. Like the Boy Scouts, be prepared. Don't forget, there is no armor for our back. You can read that Bible verse when you get home. Everywhere, breastplate, loins, you know, sword, and so forth, but there was nothing for the back. What does that mean? We can't turn our back against the enemy. Hallelujah. And Bible told us that every place that the soul of our fish are tread upon, God has given to us. So we are not going to shift any ground for Satan. In short, we are going to claim more grounds. He told us we should lengthen the cords. We should expand, you know, not to shrink. Right. Hallelujah. Right. So let's be always be in readiness. Because our adversary is always seeking whom he may devour. Amen. Amen. Then, let's read, we are not reading, just James 4, 7. Bible also told us we should resist the devil. And I will mention that in the morning. Then he will flee. And the prophet told us, resist means ignore. You know, he gives proposal, you can't be bothered. Because you know where he's going. Amen. Hallelujah. Then, I want to read a quote. I don't know whether I gave him. 620701. Put on the whole armor. Well, no, let's jump that. Let's jump that to save time. Let's go straight to the end time evangelism. I don't know whether I gave you that. 620603. The end time evangelism. Believers, our duty to the world is that we must believe the word. If we put the word in the position where it should be, it will always serve its purpose in our life. 620603, the end time evangelism, is the last quote for this, our power. You can't get it. The end time evangelism, paragraph 71. It's just a warning for us that we should not misconstrue the word. You know, because once we do that, it will not become the word again. You know what Satan did to Eve? You shall not. Just N-O-T, and it caused 620603, the end time evangelism, paragraph 71. Okay. Sorry, I didn't give him that one. I can read here. So, but you can note it. So now we are in the evening time. How many believe that? And the messengers down through the age, we find out that at the beginning, when a messenger was sent to misconstrue his word, without one word, it was total annihilation and eternal separation from God. To misconstrue that messenger's words. The first messenger was God himself. And every other messenger has been God speaking through man. Since, which is God's word, for there is no man then for him to speak through, but just the one he was talking to. But since he's made man and redeemed man, it's been God speaking through man. He uses not the agency of any mechanical device, but the agency of man. A man that is surrendered and consecrated to God. Hallelujah. This evening time, we got one man like that. You know? And he has shown to us the mind of Christ. Ours is to believe that preacher. We should believe that prophet. Hallelujah. And that's part of our power. Amen. So I'm moving quickly now to the end of the serpent. Hallelujah. You know, when you know the end of your enemy, it can't make any move again. Because you know. That's why we have spies all over the world, you know. And I went to the Spy Museum in Washington, D.C. And I saw that this thing is very serious, you know. It, from the pen to everything, even lipstick, they are all something. And I said, wow. All because we want to understand the strategy of our enemy. Because once we're able to do that, we just neutralize them, even without making a move. And today, God has given us the best strategy. He has shown to us the end of our adversary. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, the science told us that we cannot destroy anything in this world. You know, it looks like Dalton atomic theory. It told us that matter is neither created nor destroyed in the course of chemical reaction. And I did that long ago. I don't know whether they've used English again to change it. You know, so if you do anything, if you burn anything, it will only change form. You cannot annihilate anything on this earth. That's why the mass of the earth is constant. No matter you build a skyscraper, it won't increase the mass of the earth. Because you are just converting materials that were already on the earth. Hallelujah. But only God can annihilate. Amen. Amen. And that is what is going to do to Satan. Amen. It will annihilate Satan completely. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, we will read a little scripture here now. Revelation 20, verse 1 to 3. Because the punishment of sin, I told you earlier that sin has got to be punished. You know, that's why believers, like the person that's going to get baptized, that is the best thing to do. Because sin, if you refuse to repent, then it will be on you. And then God is going to judge it. But once you repent, you throw it back to the original owner. So it's get judged on Satan, not on you. Hallelujah. Revelation, okay, chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down. Do you see? An angel. Not a mighty angel. You know, it's not spectacular angel. Just an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Hallelujah. You know, this particular scripture, you know, excites me. Why? Because Bible said, just an angel. When he wanted to reveal to us, it was a mighty angel, standing on the land and the sea, you know. But when he wants to deal with this Satan, he's like, hey, you there, that angel there, just get it. Because he's not as powerful as we think he is. Hallelujah. Do you know Christ said he cast out devil with the finger of his hand? That's the devil we are scared about. He's not that powerful. The world is much more powerful. Hallelujah. We just have to place the word first and the devil will fall before us. Hallelujah. So the stages of devil's punishment, first is going to be bound 1,000 years. That's what we call millennium reign. You know, God will just come down. I'm not ready to deal with you now, but I'm going to imprison you. You know, an angel just pick him up from wherever he is and chain him and just seal him up. Hallelujah. And I believe you can bound him in your life. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. The prophet said the devil, he may not fear your doctrine, but we fear a Holy Ghost sanctified life. Amen. Hallelujah. We are still moving. Now, that is the first stage of his punishment. After that, you know, Bible said it will be loosed again. You know, it will still have time to deceive. So all these things we see in the world today that are not right, you know, some people say, I believe my thoughts. Oh, I'm a free thinker. There's nothing like that. You are either serving God or Satan. There is no middle ground. It's called the principle of excluded middle. There is no middle. You are either left or right. And we thank God we are in the right camp. Praise the Lord. Amen. The next thing that's going to happen, you know, the devil, it doesn't, like I said in the morning, devil cannot operate all by itself. He needs some agency. You know, in the Revelation, you see he has some false teachers, false prophets. There is the beast. There is the dragon. Oh, there is this and all those people. Revelation 19:20. Please. And the beast was taken, you know, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. You know, all those people that allow Satan to use them. You know, so we have to be careful as individuals. We should not submit our vessels for devil's usage. He has nothing to offer. Hallelujah. Everything about him is deception. Jesus said he was the father of lies. And it started from the beginning. So sometimes you say, oh, there is no love in the church. Please, if there is no love in the church, be the love in the church. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Because the devil's proposal is not real. Amen. It's a deception. You know, Bible said, open rebuke is better than secret love. And the prophet told us that love is corrective. Sometimes people say, oh, the pastor, oh, is too hard on this matter. Is it not better? You have correction. Bible told us that if we are without correction, then we are bastards and not sons. And if you are a child of God, God is duty bound to correct you. Because he wants the best from you. And that does not mean you should leave the church. Because you are a child of God. Even in your homes, as parents to children, when the parent corrects the children, it doesn't mean they should leave the house. I don't care how much right you have here, but you've got to stay there because you know they are correcting you because they love you. They want the best for you. Hallelujah. God has predestinated us to eternal life. I want you to remember that. We are working to the answer. You know, because God has, God, you know, in management, they will tell us, begin with the end in mind. But they learned that from God. Because everything God is doing now is already completed it. He said the works were finished, even before he started. Hallelujah. And when he has concluded you in his salvation, nothing can take you away. Hallelujah. Instead of anything taking you away from God, do you know what? God will take you from the earth. Amen. Oh, we have evidence of that. That's true. Because a child of God can never be lost. Amen. Nobody can take you out of God's hand. Amen. Nobody is that powerful. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's surrender to God's leadership. Amen. Because he is always leading us. Yes. Oh, praise the Lord. The pastor touched on that. The thoughts, your desires, God put them there. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I read in Job one time ago, God was talking to Job, showing him the wonders of nature. And he talked about the ostrich, you know, that giant bird. You know, I think it's the biggest. God said, look at how this ostrich behaves. She lays her egg on the plain ground. No? It doesn't even care. Maybe it can be broken or something. Then after hatching the eggs, Bible said she treats her youngs as if they are not ours. Why? God answered. He said, because I have deprived him of wisdom. It's God that does it all. If God places a desire in your heart, he wants to fulfill that desire. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't be afraid. Amen. Oh, don't say, oh, how will this happen? It will happen. Amen. Hallelujah. Because God placed it there. And God can bring it to pass. We should not be afraid to make the moves. Because our Father in heaven, he said, ask. Do you know when he said ask, he did not put limitations. It's open-ended. Anything even I think there is a saying, whatever a mind can conceive, it can achieve. So if it can come to your mind, then it becomes, it can be done. Let's have faith in God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's impossible to walk with God without faith. That's right. We must look at the unseen. Yes. Amen. Those who have achieved great successes, they looked at the unseen. They were not looking at things around them. Because sometimes circumstances around you will be terrible. How you look, you say it's impossible. But once God says it's possible, then go ahead. Because it's going to happen. Amen. Hallelujah. We have a Ruth in the Bible. She was a product of incest. Moabites, they came from Lot. By Lot's daughter. And in Levitical order, that was contrary to God's word. But when Ruth, her circumstances were negative, but she made a decision, a clear-cut decision. I'm going with you, mother-in-law Naomi. Stop asking me to go back. Because nothing will pass between me and thee. Even death. She has decided and nothing's going to turn her around. And that's how to serve God. We must be all in. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Don't hold back. That's why the Bible told us, don't make provision for the flesh. You know, in case it fails. It can fail. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. You must believe. Yes. And she followed Naomi. Said, stop asking me to go back. I'm going to follow you. Your God will be my God. Where you die, there I will die. And we'll be buried. And now we know this one is no point. That's the way we should serve God. Totally. And then we know what happened to her. Even she wasn't expecting, she just wanted to be alive. But God did it so much. She got married. She got a son. The son was in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So much so that when we preach the gospel, we talk about that. That's what faith can do. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So brethren, let's be all in. Yes. Amen. Our adversary, we know his end. Yes. This is not a fairy tale. Yes. It is a true saying. Yes. Hallelujah. I want to, his final destruction. Revelation 20 from verse 10 to 13. The final destruction of Satan. You know. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. You know, this is white throne judgment. And there's nobody who can come before God's judgment and be acquitted. That's why when we are in church like this, we are being judged. This is our judgment. Because we are going to judge the world. Hallelujah. Because we are the bride of Christ. We will sit with him on the throne. We are not going to be down there as an accused. That's why you should accept the word in totality today. Hallelujah. Now, I want to read three more places, please. A paradox, 64:04-18b. 64:04-18b. A paradox, paragraph 85. A paradox. I'll start reading from here to save our time. It says, okay, man destroys himself by his knowledge. See, God destroys nothing. No matter we can liquidate, we cannot annihilate. Right. Right. There's nothing. Even fire is the closest we have to annihilation. But you can't annihilate. Right. Right. When fires are burning, that gas is breaking apart. It goes right back to its original condition again. You can't annihilate nothing. Some people get so guilty till they want to take their bodies and have it burned and blown into seven winds of the sea. But that doesn't make any difference. Yeah, it isn't annihilated. You can't annihilate. God created it. You can't tear it down. You see? You can pervert or carry on or do other things, but you can't annihilate. God's the only one who can annihilate. He is the creator. He is the only one has a right to do it. Hallelujah. Now, you know, I'm coming to something. So, then we read again the fourth seal. 63:03-1. Paragraph 30. I want to paint a picture. The fourth seal, paragraph 30. I'll start reading here. When it got back to Satan, he waits his time of eternal annihilation. Now, that shows that what we believe. We believe that he will absolutely be done completely away and annihilated. Hallelujah. The next one. I'm trying to show to us the judgment of Satan. Right. So we know it's going to go into fire and all that. But what God is actually going to do with Satan is to annihilate him. Amen. Completely, like he never existed. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the enemy that you are so scared of. Just see him as somebody who will no longer exist. And then you don't listen to him. Let's read the final one now. That day on Calvary, 60:09-25, paragraph 44. Paragraph 44. Okay, the one great important thing that Calvary means to us and the world is it settled the sin question. You know, sin winds back to Satan. So, and that's how Satan will be eliminated. You know, God is a perfect God. He sorts out everything clinically. Hallelujah. It settled the sin question once and for all. Man was found guilty of sin. And sin was a penalty that no man could pay. You know, the wages of sin is death. The penalty was so great until there wasn't anyone that could pay that penalty. I truly believe that God ordained it that way, that the penalty would be so great that no man could pay it, so he could do it. Hallelujah. That's why it was God, and it's still God, that is responsible for our salvation. Say, from earth to glory, salvation belongs to God. And so once God saves you, nobody can save you. Hallelujah. So, okay, himself. Now, the penalty of sin was death. And we were all born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. Therefore, there wasn't none of us that was worthy, or they could find no one on earth that was worthy. We are going to 47. 45. No, no. We're moving 44, 45, 47. Okay. And sin did not start on the earth. Are we together? It didn't originate from the earth. It started right in the presence of God. You see? Sin started in heaven. Lucifer, the devil, was a condemned creature for his disobedience before he ever struck the earth. No? Sin began in heaven. Where God put the angels and so forth upon the same basis that he put human beings on. Knowledge, the tree of knowledge, the tree of life, and the tree of knowledge. Where man could take his choice. And when Lucifer was given the preeminences to make his choice, he wanted something better than God had. That started the trouble. You know? Believers, that's why that us, oh, it was looking for something better than the alfalfa that was given to him. That was how sin started. You know, we call it in Nigeria, long throat. Stretching neck to what is not your own. That's what, you know, when you have your own, why are you looking at the other way? That's what the devil wanted. He wanted to be the most high. Yet, he had 10 stones, don't forget. Only 2, he wanted that 2. Lack of contentment. That was how sin started. So you must check your life. Every time you are longing for what doesn't belong to you, you call yourself to a halt. Tell God, have mercy on me. Because that's how it started. Hallelujah. See, and there was a requirement for sin. The requirement was death. Death was the penalty. And that is, we could go into great details of this. Because I do not believe that there is but one death. And you know that one death is eternal separation from God. You know, it's not physical death. Because God, the presence of God is life. If God is not in somebody, that's why the Bible told us that those who live in pleasure, they are dead while even being alive. Because God is out of their life. So what you see is the outcome of corruption. But once God is there, there is freshness, there is growth, there is fruitfulness. There is, you know, hallelujah. And that's what we should have as a Christian. Always growing, you know. Let's finish this reading. There is one life. And I believe a man that has eternal life can never die. Jesus said it when he wanted to resurrect Lazarus. He said, whosoever believeth in me shall never die. It doesn't mean physical death. Because look, brethren, this our 16 element flesh is not redeemable. Are we together? It is Esi. Yeah. Yeah. And when God was to judge Adam, he said, dust thou art, to dust thou returnest. Yeah. But it wasn't speaking of the soul. Because it is the soul that sinneth that will die.
Right.
This body ordinarily will die. Right. If rapture comes today, all of us will be changed.
Yeah.
We are not using this body in heaven.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. It's just to contact the earth.
Yeah.
That's why he has five senses. And that's why believers, we don't allow this body to control us. Because it's just flesh.
Right.
Hallelujah. And if you look at the order of creation, this flesh was created last. First, when God made man, he turned around and said there was no man to till the earth. And yet he has made man. Because it was a spirit man.
Right.
Which is you. In short, brethren, we don't really know you. We only know the house you are living in. Because your body is just your package. The you that you are is actually in you. And that is the one that we are talking about. And if that one comes from God, it can never die. Hallelujah. Because we are God's attributes. If we don't go back to him, then he himself is not complete. Oh, hallelujah. He has reserved a great thing for us, brethren. The book of Hebrews 11 told us, talking about the exploit of men and women of faith. And at the end of that chapter, he told us that God has left something better for you and me. That all those people, as great as they were, without you and me, they are not complete. Hallelujah. So with us, we will make the completion. So God cannot leave you here. You can't go through tribulation. I don't care all the rumors of what things. Nothing's going to touch you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Oh, praise the Lord. Let's finish our reading. He said, and I believe there is a complete annihilation. Okay, I think. I believe a man that has eternal life can never die. And I believe there is a complete annihilation of that soul that sins. For the Bible said, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Not the man. The soul that sinneth. So Satan must surely die. To be completely destroyed. You see that? How I disagree with the universalists that say that Satan will be saved. He sinned and is the originator of sin. And his soul sinned. And it was a spirit. And that spirit shall be totally annihilated. To be nothing left of it. Thank you. Hallelujah. That's why it is imperative for believers to always repent. You know, we are not above mistakes. Hey, many times, me. How can I go and apologize to that brother? It's not about you. That is what the word says. All you have to do is to do the word. And God will take care of the rest. Because as we've seen, sin must be judged. And as a believer, it must not be found on us. And the best thing to do, we make mistakes. Brother Brown said, I backslide daily. It's not as if I'm encouraging mistakes. But that happens. Sometimes you misuse your time. Sometimes you are supposed to say something and you don't say it. But all you have to do is to come, confess, and God takes them away.
Amen.
He cleanses you, and then you are good.
Amen.
Because he has paid the price for sin.
Amen.
Don't forget the landmark judgment the prophet talked about pardon. You know? He talked about how a fellow, I believe, maybe went to the war, and then got scared and ran away. He became a deserter. And then he was to be executed.
Yeah.
But his friend happens to know maybe the governor or somebody. And then he got a pardon for him.
Right.
And then he ran down and showed him, oh, I got a panel. You should not be killed. And then he turned it down. He couldn't believe it. Said, this is too easy. And our God is revealing simplicity. All these things we are saying, my local, is it just it? Yes, that's just it. Believe. You and your household shall be saved. Hallelujah. That's a belief. That's a requirement. You say, oh, it's too simple. The prophet said, man, from time immemorial, always like to do something. God does not require your something. Come just as you are, and God will accept you. Hallelujah. And then the friend, he couldn't, on this useless piece of paper, it can't be. And then he was executed the next morning. And the friend was unhappy. And he took the case to court. And the case reached the Supreme Court. And the judges there, they said, a pardon is not a pardon until it is accepted as a pardon. And therefore, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But there is a caveat. Only those who believe. Even though it's available to everybody, you have to come under it. You've got to accept it. Then once you accept it, then it becomes yours. Hallelujah. So once we do all these things, then the burden of sin shifts back to Satan. Brethren, Satan can never repent. There is nothing in him to repent. You know, when he came to God, you know, like we know, he comes around. He comes where saints are. That's why we read that he can transform into the angel of light. You know, he comes around. He came around when God was having a conference. And God called him and said, no, have you considered my servant Job? And there is no one like him. Oh, Satan said, well, forget about that. Is it not because you gave him everything? We don't serve God because he gave us everything. Oh, hallelujah. That's another sermon. I don't want to go into that. You know, we serve him because we love him. And why did we love him? He first loved us. While we were yet sinners, Christ commended his love to us. Hallelujah. He didn't care where you are. He came there to sort you out. Because you are part of him. Hallelujah. So this Satan we are talking about, his end is complete annihilation. He will not even be mentioned where we are. We will not have a memory of him. So brethren, while it is called today, harden not your heart. When God speaks to you, take a step. Because these things, they bring God's eternal life. And you know, once you believe that soul, it can never die. You know, we just drop the flesh. We take on the glorified body. It has not been revealed what we shall be, brethren. You know, Bible said, our heart, it cannot even conceive it. When the prophet went beyond the curtain of time, he said he couldn't describe the atmosphere. There was no word to use. I mean, the extent is so. You know, Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. So that where I am, you can also be there. Amen. He has been working on that thing for a long time. Yes, sir. I'm sure we cannot imagine how beautiful it will be. Brethren, let's long to be there. Amen. It's just a few more weary days. Amen. I'm telling you. But what is ahead of us is eternity. Amen. It doesn't end. Oh, time will become irrelevant. So let's strive while it is day. Let's give him our best. I know the devil will come. We want to tell you, oh, there's nothing to it. But remember, he's always a liar. Amen. There's no truth in him. Only the word of God is the truth. Amen. And that's what we should believe. Amen. And brethren, you can ask God anything. You can call God. God, I need a revelation. Amen. He told us, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask. It's an open challenge. Let's challenge God. Right. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The prophet told us that God has a kind of big store. Sometimes What you want is on the upper floor. Get a ladder and get it. Using the ladder of faith. There is no point living an underprivileged life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. All these things are available for us.
Yes.
You, as a person, you can pray and your child can be healed.
Yes.
Because God said so.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Yes.
Brethren, that is the so far. Of course, you cannot exhaust it. But, I mean, this is what our time allows. You know, on the trail of serpent.
Yes.
So we know how it started. God told us that it was created. God created them like other angels,
right,
using the flame of fire. And then he deviated because he wanted something more than what God has given him. And God knows the best. You know, sometimes, you think, my life, why do I godly? You know, sometimes you say, why me? Why me? We say, why not you? Because God knows the best.
Amen.
He told us his thought is to bring us to the expected end.
Amen.
We should trust him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know that love goes with trust?
Amen.
If you love God, you will trust him.
Amen.
You will know that he can't do you wrong.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because he said all things work together for good for those that love God. Sometimes your trials, they work for your good.
Amen.
You know, we saw it worked for Job.
Right.
That trial promoted Job.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And it gave him more revelation.
Yes.
What he did not know before, he was able to scream, I need an iron pen. I want to write on a rock. What happened? He got a revelation. I know my Redeemer liveth.
Amen.
Brethren, do you know your Redeemer liveth today? Let's rise up. Let's talk to God in our own way. Lord, I want to follow you all the way.
Amen.
I want to be true to your word.
Amen.
Just talk to him in your way.
Amen.
Oh, help us, oh God. Our rock of ages, your word has been spoken. It's not the eloquence, oh God. We are not trusting that. But we are just trusting that a little word from you will make a lot of difference in our life. Lord, these things have been spoken. We pray. You are the after teacher. May you reveal it to us. Give us more understanding. Give us more revelation so that we can be men and women, brothers and sisters, who live by your word. Because man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Lord, let your word feed us, O God. Feed us from heaven, from above, so that our life, O God, will change, O God. We saw the change. It happened in Abraham. It happened in Sarah until Abimelech wanted to marry his grandmother because the word changed her. Lord, let this word change us. Let people see Christ in us, born anew, Lord. Help us in our neighborhood to demonstrate that you are still alive. We are the resurrected bride. Thank you for the church. Thank you for the pastor. Lord, Father, may none of us be found wanting when you shall come. Do this for us, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. God bless you, saints. Thank you so much.